Hello and welcome to the Masked Singer Wrap Up here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I am your host, Liana, the mascara Boris, and with me today, as always, is the fabulous Pooya Ham Hawk Zan Vakili. Pooya, how are you doing?
Oink, oink.
No, stop. That's so weird. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, now you know how
we're
it feels
restarting.
Every time I intro.
We're restarting. We're restarting. Not. We'll cut it off. We'll just cut that one off. So at some point, Pooya said that I was going to be hosting this podcast this week. Pooya is, of course, our lovely, trusted river guide down the journey that is the Masked Singer.
River guide?
Like a guide as you go on a journey.
Like, ooh, traversing, is that what it is? That's a guide?
You know what? Okay. This is a mess. But that's the Masked Singer podcast. And I'm sorry.
Wait. Who is that? What's coming in? What? What is that?
Is that? No!
What the Cloodle do's here? What is going on? Cloodle, get out. Get out, Cloodle. Get out of here.
I hate it.
Sorry, team. The Cloodle do just interrupted the podcast.
Stop. Make it stop.
Liana, this is an hour loop of the Cloodle do song.
Yeah, an hour?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So now I know what this the official pre-drinking song to this podcast is, the Cloodle do theme song.
I can't believe that. I mean, that's the internet for you. Someone made that. Someone decided, you know what the world
it's
needs?
So niche. Yeah.
An hour. How many views? How many views does the video have?
Good question. Let me go look at it.
It's on YouTube.
Imagine,
yeah,
though, you pull up to the pre-drink. Here to take a shot. Cloodle do. Gain your salt. Cloodle do. With a hint of lime. Cloodle.
Yeah, we can make a drinking game to it.
Yeah, 9,700 views.
What?
Yeah.
I heard myself echo on yours because I yelled so loud. Apologies, listeners. That is absolutely wild. 9,000?
9,700.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. All right. Well, it's pretty much as ridiculous as the start of this podcast. I don't even know what is happening, why we're here, what... Oof, it's been 3 hours of mess. We're here to talk about the semifinals. That's right, the semifinals of The Masked Singer Season 5. I can't believe we're here, but at the same time, this feels like the appropriate length of a season.
It really does. I'm happy. We're 11 episodes in. We're going to finish the season with 12 episodes total.
Yeah.
That seems perfect. That's three months of content. And I'm happy.
Yeah, this for me, I think, has been one of the better seasons since season two. I think
this is my favorite since season two.
I think it's my favorite since season two as well. And I feel like, although I was initially critical of the game changer, what are they called? What was the Yeti called? I know we'll have to talk about it, but what was the Yeti called? Wild cards. Yes. I think the addition of the wild cards combined with the season only being 12 episodes, I think that is perfect. I think that's perfect for The Masked Singer, and I hope that they stick with this kind of format moving forward because you get to introduce new singers, so things are still fresh and fun without doing like the different groups that they did last time or season. So season four when they did group A, B, and C, and you had to wait 6 weeks to meet. Anyway, whatever. I thought this was perfect. I'm really happy with where we are, but we had, I think, a shocking elimination this episode, and so there's definitely a lot for us to get into.
There definitely is. We're gonna dive into the person who went out immediately because they were the first performer of the night. It was shocking, but also, Liana, on the second watch, I kind of get it. Like, it makes sense now to me.
Right.
But this is how I feel. I feel like 3 weeks in a row, I've been kind of surprised at the person going, which just shows you how strong the lineup has been this season, truly. Like we said at the final six, anyone could be in the finals, and I'm not surprised. And look at us now. I would not have, if you had given me the, you know, predict the finalists, two of the finalists are missing in my books from where I was standing at the final six. So look at us now.
Right. 100%. I think Robopine we had up there. I think the Yeti we had up there. And so the fact that we've lost these two performers really does, like you said, talk about how strong the rest of the cast is. Mm-hmm. And this is where we talk about this song choice matters. And
oh my God, does it.
and I think that's the biggest thing with the Yeti's performance, which we'll get into, was not a fabulous song choice for him. But before we jump into all of that, let's do a little quick intro because we have a guest judge this week. That's right, Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish and also his own country music career. What did you think of our guest judge this week?
Darius was a fun addition. I liked him. The guesses were not amazing, but that's fine. No. We allow it. That's completely allowed. As long as you're entertaining. And I thought he was. I thought he mixed well with the judges too. So all in all, this was a good spot for Darius Rucker. And I think this was a good get for the Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm. His cover of Wagon Wheel is fabulous. He's fabulous. So I was happy to have him. And yeah, I agree. I don't think I would be like, oh my God, please replace ex-judge with Darius Rucker. But I thought it was a fun time. I was trying to then, of course, my cynical mind is trying to figure out the connection. Is Darius Rucker releasing a new album or is he on some other Fox show we don't know about yet?
Not everyone's there to plug though, right? Like that's the thing to remember.
I mean, sure.
What?
Something like that. Also, I did not hear them say semifinals, and I wrote down Big City Finals. So that's what I have titled this episode, the Big City Finals, which actually doesn't make sense at all. But here we are. Okay, let's talk about the Yeti. Hooyah, go.
Well, meanwhile, the Cloodle-Doo is in the build. No, I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, we'll talk about the Cloodle-Doo later.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Cloodle-Doo.
Play the song.
No, I wasn't going to do. I didn't play any. I'm not the one doing that. It's like you said his name three times. Cloodle-Doo, Cloodle-Doo, Cloodle-Doo. And then like no! He's here now. Like, I'm not doing this. OK, it's not me. I'm not doing that.
It's the energy of Cloodle-Doo. Where Who? Are you? Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say his name. Don't say his name. I already said it once. Don't say it. No. It's he who must not be named.
You're he's literally back. The new Voldemort. He's back. Cloodle-Doo's back.
Please be getting like really specific TikToks of this one scene from Harry Potter, from the fourth book where
I
don't know why.
Grim,
I don't
grim moment, but I keep getting the same scene in like different TikTok viral TikTok trends done. It's nuts. But we move into the Yeti's package. And ooh. Let's be real.
Is that you want to move into the Yeti's package? No.
You make fun of me. That's what's gonna happen. I'll summon the Cloodle-Doo. No. So I want to talk about the Yeti's package. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want to specify the weight of the Yeti's package in that
the girth.
no, relax. No, the Cloodle packages.
Here to change the game. Cloodle-Doo packages.
What, Liana? Don't make me play this. I won't play the tuna yet.
Here
I will
to change the game.
I will turn this podcast around, and we're just gonna put it. The rest of the hour is gonna be the hour clip.
Oh my gosh, we'll do like NGOG and then just play the rest.
Is it April yet? We can do a prank.
Is it April Fool's Day? Okay, I'm sorry. And also I'm driving this podcast, so you can't turn it around, but I can be the
annoying passenger though, so like you usually are, which is great.
Are we there yet? All right, talk about the package, the girth of the package.
There's no okay, you know what? No, you're not doing this. This is the problem with giving you the keys. You're driving us off the cliff. Okay.
Speed, baby.
So, the package. The Clue package is plural. This episode, we're lacking. Literally, when I say we're talking about the package, genuinely, we're barely talking about it. We're just talking about their feelings. And the Yeti's feelings were that they open themselves to life or close the door. Those were their two options. They open themselves to a new part. There was forgiveness, a new possibility. I believe this was with regards to their dad.
Yeah, it was a relationship with his father.
Yeah. And then there was a volleyball in the clue. And then they talk about leaving resentment out. And then they said they wanted to celebrate their journey on The Masked Singer. And then the song was Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
That's right. Celebrate good times. Come on. So, okay, first of all, apart from the fact that I felt like I was at a sporting event with a combination of this song and then the Masked Singer clue drop thing, I was like, where's my free t-shirt? It was fine. You know what I mean? It was fine. Maybe a bit of a premature celebration. But the thing is that the Yeti is just so talented in general. The razzle dazzle that he brings, he's just a very entertaining performer. So I have a tendency to then kind of just brush off the song to a certain extent mm-hmm. because it feels like he's making up for maybe what wasn't the strongest vocal choice with all the dancing and everything. So I wasn't particularly worried about the Yeti. Although, yeah, when you mentioned on the rewatch, ooh, maybe it's a little crustier than, or you know, you kind of originally felt crusty. When you were trying to be more critical. Yeah,
crusty. Who said, whose word is that? I wouldn't have said crusty.
But you know, it's like, you know, you're feeling crusty. It's crusty.
No.
Yes. What? It's crusty.
Okay, describe why it's crusty. Maybe I'll understand if you describe it.
Well, because it's just when something, it's like the opposite of amazing. You're just feeling a little off. You're feeling crusty. Like when you wake up in the morning and you have little crusties in your eyes, you got to like rinse them out. You got to rinse out those crusties. The opposite
of good is crusty eyes?
No, not specifically crusty eyes. You can just be crusty. Like, oh, I woke up today and I'm feeling crusty. I'm feeling crunchy. Because you're because
no, that is not no one's like, oh, I'm feeling pretty crunchy today. That is not
yes,
a thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What am I, a hot chip? That is so not a thing.
it's a phrase that people use.
Feeling crunchy is to feel I'm embarrassed after having done or said something that might cause another person emotional pain or embarrassment.
Okay, well, so, it's not okay, but like it words evolve, okay? Within the great lexicon of our great English language, of course, we must be prepared for language to evolve this past is, UrbanDictionary.com. This is,
no, there's no lexicon here. If anything, it's a long con of you trying to like inception me into it's believing crunchy. That crunchy is your definition. No.
But you're like crunchy. Feeling crunchy.
Liana, so this is an example of feeling crunchy. Would be if you tripped in front of all of us right now, you'd feel crunchy. So you should, in fact, feel crunchy for trying to tell me that this definition of crunchy is what you're saying.
He felt crusty. He's crusty.
You said both.
What does what? You know what? Yeah. Okay,
no. Fine. Let's see. What does feeling crusty mean?
No. What do you think? What do you think about the performance? You go ahead.
Oh dear Lord.
Just go.
So Liana put a foot in mouth. Liana is crunchy now. Okay.
I'm crusty.
No. Stop that.
Okay, stop well that's how okay. I've heard it used by the youths. I am around youths. Okay. Are you around the youths? No.
You are not. You're the youngest person at your job.
No, are you serious?
You're like the third youngest person at your job.
No, we work with graduate students and undergrads who are like freaking 19 years old, and they're all out like using their words.
Liana, you say that you work around. You know what? This is not important. This is not important.
I mentored two high school students. Wait, did you say messing with the pen? Is that the lyric?
That's what I heard. Let me hear it. Yeah, I think it's pen. I don't know.
Messing with the pen?
Cloodle-doo. Every other word is a vehicle to get to that cloodle-doo. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. The rest is filler. Right.
They probably just went to a random word generator and then just, yeah, sure, it's fine. Okay, all right. What did you think about the Yeti?
Yeah, so let me get there. You're not letting me get there with your crunchy conversation. Okay.
Crunchy.
So this, you remember last week when I couldn't quite describe what I felt about the Black Swan's performance, where I said, I thought that the vocals are still there and they're banging, but I did not like the song.
Mm-hmm.
It had a similar reaction to this, because I could tell that this was vocally one of the more weaker performances of the Yeti, but still it was a good performance from the Yeti. But also you could see that there was a lot more lean on the Yeti's background motif. There was Big Shade Dancers. The motif was cruise ship. The Yeti did a lot of dancing in this one. So I think there was an attempt at, covering the singing, masking right. the song with some razzle dazzle. So it was a good performance. On any other season, maybe it shakes out that this was a good performance for the night. Given that it was the starting one and then the night just built up from there.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, like in the second watch, it was very obvious the Yeti should go. Now, when we watched it the first night, and Liana can attest to this, my jaw dropped when the Yeti got announced as leaving.
Yeah, I tried to take a picture of your face.
I'm glad you didn't.
My camera was very slow.
Aw, sorry, camera.
No. Yeah, so it was funny because it was like watching your emotion go from just completely shocked to then confusion and frustration. It was all of the stages of grief in one go. It was amazing.
I was sad.
You were really sad, and then you made me comfort you and make you feel better, and you poor little sad thing.
I like the Yeti, and I like the Yeti a lot. But yeah, I basically, by the end of the night, I had an ice box where my heart used to be. Oh. Yeah. And it felt very cold.
You poor thing.
Oh, you don't get the reference. That's more sad. We move. You know the reference? Do you know what song that is?
No. What are you talking about?
All right, everyone. Youthful Liana does not know the song Icebox by Omarion, but we'll move on. It's fine.
Okay. Sorry. I'm busy just choking on my own. Over here. It's fine. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm alive. I did like the giant sunglasses as mm-hmm. the dancers. That was totally weird and right up my alley. So I very much enjoyed that. You know, I think it's also challenging with that massive costume because some of the subtle dance moves that he does don't exactly translate. Mm-hmm. In the big old costume, just because, and he comments at the end, I think it's one of the biggest ones. And I think that that's just really challenging. It's a cool costume, but I think definitely, you know, it kind of limits a few things that he can do.
I mean, in a season of quote game changers, the Yeti not only comes in as a wild card and survives all the way to the final four, but also is the first and only person to have ever performed with rollerblades on and killed it. So
yeah,
there's a lot to hang your hat on.
To me, this is very similar to the Seahorse, where even if the Yeti wasn't ultimately going to win, it feels like such a snub to not have them in the final three.
Right. And like, I think this season, it's very much indicative to how good the season is and how strong the final six were. Literally, any of them could have been the one leaving tonight, and I would have been feeling the same way probably. And that's what I figured when I was sad about the Yeti was, yeah, you'd feel this way if any of them went, except for the Piglet, just because I don't like the costume. But if the Piglet, the performer leaves, I would also feel sad in that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this was, again, great way to start the episode. I had fun, but also the irony's not lost on me that the Yeti said, I want to celebrate my time. And then the Masked Singer said, time for you to leave.
Well, we celebrated. Now get out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blew your celebration load.
He blew his package. Okay, so the other things for the Yeti is they are now doing the Masked Singer clue drop, where they drop a parachute with a clue attached to it. Mm-hmm. This one was for Nicole, and it was Santa Monica, and then the Yeti said something about rubbing elbows with Nicole. So did you know what that meant?
You drop a clue. I mean, I'm assuming they met. They have been in the same spot at Santa Monica together one time. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, come on. That's again, the clues, even like Jenny said, you know, stretch them out a little bit. I'm sure they've run into each other once or twice. Right. OK, so I looked up the lyrics to Cloodledoo. It's messing with the panel. Is that lyric?
I mean, I thought it would be panel, but it doesn't sound it. Let's see.
Yeah, you can hear it. Pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like very, okay. It's like, yeah, anything for a rhyme, huh? It's with a pedal.
Yeah. All right. So good. I'm glad that we have flown over that. And now let's fly in with the Black Swan, who is our next performer of the evening. I missed the clue package due to the link dying, so I have no notes for the clue package.
Well, lovely. Then that means we're going to lean on my clue package. So here to save the day, PZV. All right, nailed it.
Oh, we should make a parody. Oh my God, we should make this a TikTok song.
No, we should not.
When I do my okay, don't tell anybody, but when I do
mute,
my Instagram,
mute your microphone. Don't give out your deals. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Right. I'll mute real quick. Okay.
So the Black Swan talks about feeling free. There's a maple leaf in the clue, which everyone focuses on the maple leaf. It pretty much becomes the main part of the whole thing. And then there's a name tag that says, "Hello, my name is One," which I'm assuming stands for one word, a.k.a. JoJo. They go by one word, like Cher, like Madonna, JoJo, Puya. They're all one word. So that's the clue there. Don't laugh. They want to be unafraid. They've been unafraid. And then there was an origami crane in the clue package as well. So actually, I want to give a quick shout out to our buddy Edmo, who messaged me and put me onto this because I had not listened to the song before, wildly enough. JoJo and Wiz Khalifa have a song together.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, from like 2017. It's F Apologies. And I listened to it. It was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
As a fan of both, I was shocked that I didn't know it, but also, you know, fair enough. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, it happens. Things happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah, that was a cool package. And then as far as the performance goes, Tequila by Dan and Shay. Literally two notes in, I was hooked. I was happy. I didn't want the Black Swan to leave. I love the lamps in the background. It was like a bunch of lamps, a lot of lamps. And it was just a smooth performance. I couldn't have been happier with everything that went down there. I really couldn't have. This was a great performance, but by the Black Swan. And I felt like it was immediately evident to me that it was stronger than the Yeti's performance on the night.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Okay. So I 100% agree with that. The one thing I will say is I feel like the arrangements the past 2 weeks for her just haven't been my personal preference. There's something kind of weird about the timing. When I listen to them again, I usually like them more. And I felt like this song was really great to show off a lot of her texture. She was able to hit, you know, those crazy runs, which again just shows off the vocal control that she has. So I think once I looked a little bit closer, I liked it more. And same thing with what Ken said. This is this emotional journey that we're going on. And I really felt that coming from the Black Swan. And I did, you know, you're sort of mentally ranking the contestants as they go against each other. And I would rank Black Swan above Yeti for this performance.
Yeah, I think that was very clear for me as well. I just thought everything came together really good with like the yellow lighting. Again, you know, I'm a sucker for a smoky floor was smoky. I'm happy. Okie dokie. That rhymed amazing. But yeah, I couldn't have been happier. And I was just thrilled that in my head, Black Swan had punched their ticket to the final.
Right. I think that the animations also in this episode were really good. They did the floating lamps, and then for the piglet, they did the rain, which I thought was really cool. So I just felt like the editing and the animations in this episode were really on point as well. And that was something that I think really added to the ambiance of her performance, even though it was just for us viewers at home.
Mm-hmm. We are very happy viewers at home.
Here to change the game. Okay. All right. So the drop clue was celebrity VIP. And this was for Robin because I guess they met at an after party, which is, you know, the same thing as Omarion's with Santa Monica. And then we get the Bjork guess from Ken, which I just
Classic Ken.
Bringing us back. Oh, memories. Remember season two? Although it is fitting that he would do a callback to season two, given the fact that I think this is the best season since season two. Well, just one woman's opinion.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Honestly, it really is. I do think that for me, as far as the guesses went from the people, mm-hmm. that Bjork was obviously ridiculous. But then also we had Alanis Morissette from Darius, which was wild. And Carly Rae Jepsen was Robin's guest, which you've heard us say things like this multiple times. This time's no different. She needs to be on the show. I think she'd be a great guest for the show.
Yeah, I think she'd be a great get for the show. I think it was because they were all so focused on Canadians, forgetting that maple syrup is also made in Vermont, but fine.
No, the maple Vermont erasure. Only acceptable. No, it's just Canada. Get it right.
No, because when I would drive up to see you, I would drive through Vermont and I always thought about buying some because it's like good. It's a good.
It's the second best maple.
Okay. All right. Anyway. What else? Anything else about the Black Swan?
No, just Nicole. I did write down Nicole made a comment of she's finishing strong, which I do like these little throw comments that we get from the judges right before they transition us either to commercial or the next performer throughout the season. Mm-hmm. This time, she's finishing strong by Nicole. I thought that was a good one to note. I think if I'm predicting stuff, I think the Black Swan's in the final two come Wednesday night. I think the Black Swan's going to make it into the final two. And is going to be having a 50-50 chance of winning this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think it's going to really depend on the song choices, as always, because
absolutely.
I think the Piglet is really putting in a lot of effort towards the end of this competition. I feel like the Piglet has only gotten better. I've liked more and more and more of the performances, and I feel, especially this week, was just absolutely outstanding. Between last week and this week, Piglet's got it going on. Talk about some ham hocks. So we'll see.
Stop with the ham hocks. Stop.
You're a ham hock. Wait, no. What was it? If sausage is to...
No, we're not doing that here. No. Okay. No.
Right. Well, then let's change our colors and crawl on over to the chameleon, who is the next performer in this week's episode. I wrote down the clues this time. So the chameleon's clue package was all about his ability to adapt and adjust, and then talked about the fact that he moved around a lot as a kid. There was also a double-decker bus and lots of rainbows. What did you think?
Yeah, and then the bricks. Don't forget the bricks.
And the bricks, another brick in the wall. Yeah. That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so let's talk about let's just skip to the performance. Because like I said, I feel like these, all of these, why are you laughing?
You didn't like my description of the random things I could write down.
No, I said earlier, the clue packages are lacking.
Yeah, it's a whole bottle of nothing.
Yeah. So the chameleon comes in and does a rendition of Oh Boy. And I don't really, so I don't love this song personally. It's like, I've listened to it. It's on my playlist, but it's one on the, you know, songs you have on the playlist where at this point you're not removing them from the playlist, but you'll skip them when they come on. That's where this song is for me. There's way better songs that the chameleon's done, in my opinion, that I've vibed to. But, and I remember listening to it on the night, Liana, on the couch with no headphones, like just watching it on TV. It did not feel like the best performance. It actually, I think compared to the other performances from the chameleon, it felt like a weaker rendition or a weaker song than what we've been familiar with. But then when you listen to it on headphone the next day, it was hitting. I enjoyed it. The biggest thing that I think I've noticed with the judges too, as they show us cuts of it, every time the chameleon is performing, you feel like you're at a festival. You feel like you're at a concert. Mm. You feel like you're like, it feels like a regular performance. It doesn't feel like, oh, I'm on the set of The Masked Singer listening to someone do a cover of someone. It just feels like you're at a concert. And I think that entire experience goes a long way in this. And once again, they killed it with the chameleon's background. The background looked super cool. The dancers look good. The lights look good. So it was an all around well-encompassing performance, and genuinely, I think I'm ready to say, if it's not been said yet, that the chameleon is better than any other rapper we've had on the show, period. Straight up.
Oh, better than Busta Rhymes?
Better as far as like the contenders to the crown go.
Oh, well,
my
yeah,
boy Busta was robbed day one, night one, and they had to let Flippin' Bag make it to the next round because he got a gig at the Masked Dancer. It's all a conspiracy, I tell you. But also shout out to Busta Rhymes for having the best rap song done on the show with the Chameleon doing Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See by Busta Rhymes that one time. Loved it mm-hmm. very much.
Mm-hmm. 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 Would you say that he's here to change the game?
No, that's what this person is.
Okay, I'm into it. I like it now.
You're trying to make me not play it, and I'm going to keep playing it, so it's not going to work on me.
No, it's fine. You can keep playing it.
I mean, you tell me what you feel about the Chameleon, because I know, I can say firsthand, we both know Chameleon is my bag. Like, he is right. Everything I want in a performer. So, and it's the genre I enjoy the most, so I appreciate him a lot, maybe more than most, but I want to know what your takes are on the Chameleon here.
Okay, we've talked about this before, but I'll say it again for the people on the back. Even though it's not my favorite genre of music, I can still recognize skill. And because people think rapping's easy, all right? Rapping's not easy. This takes a lot of talent and a lot of skill. And the fact that he's able to flow so smooth and do it on so many different like types of songs, right? Because there is some versatility within his performances, I think, even though it doesn't like initially seem that way. That I recognize and that I place a lot of value on. And so I thought that the Chameleon was probably going to get eliminated here because the Masked Singer has a tendency to reward the singers, or you have to have a ton of razzle dazzle like the Frog. But yes, here we see the Chameleon succeeding because he's so good at what he does. I think one of the just sort of underlying, I don't know, frustrations. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the word is, but the fact that what I personally look for and who I want in a winner is someone who has a lot of diversity. So I think about T-Pain, for example, who can do so many different types of songs, or The Fox, for example, that can do so many different, like, he's got some rap verses in there that he's going to do as well. Now, is he the Chameleon level? No, of course not. But he's able to do a lot of different types of performances as well. Whereas the Chameleon doesn't have that. The Chameleon doesn't have that. The Chameleon is so successful at what he does. However, personally, I like someone who has the diversity. So I think The Sun, when she did Lizzo, that to me is a perfect example of someone who, she's not a rapper, but she was able to do that it wasn't the strongest, but she demonstrated that on top of all of the other songs that she sang.
That's a fair assessment. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. I feel like we've been conditioned to think that the Chameleon's going to be the easy out from the final six. And here's the Chameleon at the final three. Now, would we be honest in saying that the Chameleon is probably the long shot to win? 1,000%. But is there a part of me that thinks that if the Chameleon picks the right song, Chameleon can take it? Absolutely. And, you know, last week I came in with Chest and said, hey, they're saying game changer. What if the game changer is that a wild card wins? No. What if the game changer is that a rapper wins? How about that? How would that be? Because honestly, I think the Black Swan is our diversity person this year with like their range and having mm-hmm. more of the unique different things they can offer. I mean, obviously last week they did a rendition of a song completely different to what I know it to be, the Ed Sheeran song. And I think that she's got that in the back pocket. The Piglet, however, is kind of just doing the Piglet stuffs. Piglet be Pigleting. So, mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whose song choice is going to be how. I personally am very happy that they have someone who is at the final three, who isn't all about the razzle dazzle, who is just good at their trade, which is rapping, and is able to create an environment that is enjoyable for everyone involved to the point where they've made it to the final three. Because I think if you look at the frog did way better in the razzle dazzle department. The Frog was dancing, was doing the moonwalk in the frog suit, going ham, and they made it all the way to the final three. But here you have the Chameleon, not really dancing, just completely through vibes, through the rap, is making it to the final three. So I'm keen to see how it goes. But if you made me fill out parchment here tonight of who's in the final two and who's third place, I'm giving third place to Chameleon and I'm putting Piglet and Black Swan sight unseen into the final two. But it all comes down to what song choices are happening. Because genuinely, Liliana, if the Chameleon comes in and picks like a very, very feel good song, a very vibe heavy song, the Chameleon could take it, genuinely.
Well, Puya, I agree with you. And I think that the Chameleon has a shot to win. And I started going through my range of emotions depending on which contestant ultimately is announced the winner. And I'm not upset with the Chameleon winning. I thought I would be, but I'm not. Just because I recognize how talented he is. And I'm happy that he was able to make it to the final three and has a shot at winning, because we've seen these rappers on The Masked Singer consistently go out. And like you talked about, with The Frog, it was almost more of the razzle dazzle that was what got him through, not necessarily just the rapping. And so I feel good about it. And I'm happy that his talent is being recognized. Okay. Yeah,
same. Big same.
Okay. Big same. The. Yes. Okay, what else do I have?
The judges,
I have a lot of
guesses.
Comments on the weird lizard dancers and the dinosaur head backup dancers. I thought they were weird.
They didn't really, like, the dancing was weird, but they didn't take away from the Chameleon being center stage, which I do appreciate.
Well, because he's massive. He's giantly tall, and he's got that big old headpiece that makes him even taller, and he's bright colors. How do you not look at that costume?
It's phenomenal. It's a great costume.
All right. The clue drop was for Darius Rucker here. There was a snake. Was it a snake? I don't remember. Phoenix? Did it say Phoenix? I also wrote corn dogs were delicious. Does that mean anything?
Yeah. So the whole thing with this was that they shared the stage and Phoenix was there.
Yes. Oh, and the Phoenix was there. Yes.
Like the wording wanted you to believe that the Phoenix was a nod to Caitlyn Jenner from earlier in the season. However, I did my research. This is, if I'm correct in that this is Wiz Khalifa, which I've been saying from the first note from the first episode. In 2014 in Arizona, Wiz Khalifa and Darius shared the stage.
Boom.
There you go.
Boom. All right. And I think you're right. We've been nail on the head so far.
Should we?
All of these.
Quick halt here. Should we look at the golden ear contention right now?
Well, doesn't Robin get one after? So it's 1-2-2-0?
No. I mean the contention within this podcast.
Oh, no, thank you. But I appreciate the offer. All right. So speaking of oink, oink offers. No, that wasn't good. Speaking of ham hocks, the Piglet.
Listen, the only reason you don't want us to talk about the
is
golden
I'm gonna
deer
lose.
Is because you're in a lot of trouble. Similarly to the Piglet.
Applause, sir.
That's how you do it. That's how you segue.
Oh, wow. I can't think of another pig thing. All I could think of was snoot. Like, boop to snoot.
That's not
of
a
the
thing.
Piglet.
It's snout.
The snoot. Boop the snoot. Boop the snout doesn't rhyme.
For the love
rhyme.
Of God,
boop.
But please just move on.
Okay, well, we're in a bit of a teacup over here with the Piglet. The Piglet loves the simple life. And there's also the Fortnite llama. What did you? Are you pausing me?
I didn't do anything.
Here to change the game. All right. There's also a mirror. And I wrote down very 80s movie vibes. But again, the clue package, you know, come on. Well, it's Nick.
No, I'm officially going to make a rule. We'll call it a Puya-ism, if you will.
Okay.
After the third performance of any given performer, the clue packages don't mean much, but a segue to what song they're doing.
Hmm. Well, because there's always a lot about how I felt last week. When I performed last week, I was so nervous. Yeah, exactly. But
no, and every time they're nervous and it changed their lives. Every time.
And this is their comeback. And they've had a hard time, right? That's, we always, anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, the Piglet here, the song that the Piglet did was Fill Us In, Puya.
Are you asking because you don't
Bruises
know?
Bruises by Lewis Capaldi. I knew that the whole time. So.
You have to wait for the video to load, didn't you?
No, it's Bruises by Lewis Capaldi. As we all know, I'm a famous Lewis Capaldi fan. And wow, I thought this was really strong. I love the raindrop animation. Like I said, I think he's only gotten better. And I think the performances have only gotten stronger.
No, the Piglet has literally just been on an upward. No. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Let me finish before you pass judgment, Leanna. There's a big problem with you.
I thought we were going to be in a truffle.
I've already made that joke.
It's a callback.
Yeah, that's snout what this is all about, okay?
Snoot. Boop the snoot. Like when you boop the snoot, you boop it. You boop the
What
snoot.
Is a snoot?
The San Antonio Zoo put out a TikTok where they went around and they booped the snoots of all the animals. And they booped the snoot of the possums and they booped the snoot of the porcupines. They booped all the snoots. It's where you tap them on the nose. I'll show you with Clam later.
Sometimes I feel like people listen to these weird anecdotes you have about the snoots and the TikTok, that your TikTok page. I want people to know that we are a very lively and happy couple. Liana's not sitting there watching these sad TikToks all day.
I'm gonna boop your, it's not a sad TikTok, it's a cute TikTok. You take a cute animal and then you push it on the nose and then it goes ah, and it's really cute. And it like stretches its little arms, it goes ah when you boop the snoot.
We're in a very happy relationship, I promise.
I'll show you. You'll get it. You just don't understand right now. Yeah, it's fine. You'll get it.
But you know what I did understand is that this performance by the Piglet, in my opinion, was the strongest one of the night. And I felt like from everything with the rain animation to the fireworks at the beginning, the two subtle dancers in the back, and obviously the impeccable vocal performance by the Piglet. The Piglets, I think it's Piglet's game to lose, genuinely. I think the Piglet's just been doing better and better and better and better against what I like, right? Because it's not what I want. But it is a thing that I am cognizant of, and good for the Piglet. Again, no beef against the person behind the Piglet costume. All the beef against the costume of the Piglet. So,
right.
I just don't think there's, and like the Piglet had a little raincoat on this time around with the outfit change.
That was
so
super cute. I did like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking like Paddington Pig, like it's great.
Okay.
You know, because Paddington Bear is wearing a raincoat.
Yeah. Well, I saw Dave Jorgensen made a Paddington 2 tick. Anyway, it's not important. Okay.
Yeah. Did you tell us more on about how much you're on TikTok?
Okay, you know what? I don't want to hear it. But here's what I do want to hear about the clue. No, oh wait, I had an idea. If the Piglet ends up winning, this is very much, I feel, Joey Fatone and Nick Carter walked so Nick Lachey could run type situation. Oh. Where eventually we're going to have a boy bander win. I think it's just a matter of which boy bander.
Wild. Wow. I would not have bet on Nick Lachey, to be honest with you.
I know, right? He wouldn't have been my top choice either. I thought it would have been, I probably would have picked Nick Carter if I had to pick one of them. But that's either here nor there. What?
If the Black Swan or the Chameleon win, we can call them the Hamburglar because they're going to rob the Piglet.
That's good. I like that. Dress like Grimace over here. That's you. You're dressed like Grimace.
I'm not dressed like Grimace. Who was dressed? We were watching 90 Day and Colty's dressed like Grimace. It was awful.
No, but you said it about, Libby's father also. It's Chuck. He said it about Chuck.
Yeah, too. Chuck was full on grimacing.
Yeah, so now everybody's over here dressed like Grimace. Oh, you're gonna come on over here dressed like Grimace. That's good. That's just a good general insult. We should start using that more often.
I already do.
But I mean, in general,
get to my level.
Okay. So let's say Joey comes into work and I'll be like, "Oh, you're looking like Grimace today. Dress like Grimace. Will that work?"
That'd be too insulting. You wouldn't want to go in on Joey like that.
I don't think he'll know. He's French. I don't think he'll get it.
Oh, bless him. He's so lucky. I'm so upset that I get McDonald's humor. It's awful. I hate it.
Classic.
I wish I didn't.
Well, you know what else is classic? Poker, because that was the drop clue to Jenny, and it was a poker chip, which she believes to be a charity poker event.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm sure they've rubbed elbows or whatever at some point in time with their corn dogs. So, all right. Anything else for the piglet? Oink, oink.
I said what I said. I think the piglet's going to be in the running to take this home, and we'll have to see on Wednesday whether or not that happens. Now, if the piglet or the black swan win, Liana wins the draft. If the chameleon wins, I win the draft, which if I win with the chameleon, that's going to be the wildest thing to have happened in our draft history.
That would be pretty wild, but I'm also fine with that.
Yeah. No, this season, unlike any other season we've had so far. Yeah, because in season two, there were two people I would have not minded winning, and they both made it to the final two. So it worked out. But no, this season, literally any of them win, I'm coming on the podcast the next day and saying, amazing season. It's been an amazing season, and there's no two ways to look about it. The only bit of rough spot on the show this season has been the Cloodle-Doo. And so the Cloodle-Doo comes in and is going to decide randomly, well, I'm done making fun of you for the season, and now I'm going to reveal my identity. But first, I'm going to sing for you. And then comes in and just tears the house down with Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison and does really good. I thought it was very fun. I enjoyed that the Cloodle-Doo does give us a performance, even though I'm shading it right now. And what did you think of the performance? Because I thought this was great, and I thought this was exactly why I guessed who I guessed last week for the Cloodle-Doo.
Right. And you were correct. So I believe that's a point for you for the masked ear trophy.
Boom.
And so
I got two this week.
You did. You got two this week. I'm happy that they finally figured out a way to get him on the show. So hopefully the panel will stop guessing. Donnie Wahlberg. Yeah.
So my theory, Liana, was that, and I'm not going to lie, it's one of those things where, you know how in the circle, after they've had a person leave and then return in the game again, that makes them more succinct to think about, oh, what if someone's returning again? And then the second person that does that is screwed. That's how I felt when Nick Cannon was a wild card, because that made me think, who else is in the family that they would bring in a non-competing role to be on the show? Because if they were a competitor on the show and they made it far, the show's rigged, it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. This is where we land. Why I went with Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah, look, it was good. It was a good guess. I still like my idea better as a promotion for Lego Masters.
Nice.
It's a great idea. Thank you very much, Fox. If you're listening, you're welcome.
But here's the problem with your idea is that Will Arnett, his show's not on until after The Masked Singer is over. I'm pretty sure. Doesn't his show take over The Masked Singer slot?
Exactly. So keep watching, folks, because in 1 week, the Lego Masters is going to be back again. So, ta-da, cross promotion. I'm a genius. You're welcome.
You're okay.
You're welcome. Are you
enjoying hosting? Can I just drop in and ask you that?
I wasn't mentally prepared for this today, but I'm doing a great job, and I think I'm very successful. Good job, me.
Good job.
I just pat myself on the back. Okay, well, yes, but you said I had to, and then you said we don't have to. And I already said that I said, yes, yes. You said you were like, you're gonna host, and that was a couple days ago, and then I forgot, and then you said, oh, remember, you're hosting, and then I said
you're gonna host. You're like, okay. I was like, for real? You're like, yeah, okay. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Because I'm a consummate professional. I'm a professional, all right? I don't just show up. I took some notes, like I wrote down farm thibg. I spelled thing wrong. I wrote farm THHBG for the piglet right under the clue package. So there.
Feel free to segue us out of here then.
Well, then let's talk about the unmasking, because that's another thing that happened in this episode.
No, tell me about, you didn't talk about the Clue to Lose performance at all.
Oh, yes. I thought it was fun. I thought that all the chicken dancings with the newspapers was super weird, but in a good way.
I hated them. The chickens were the worst part of the performance for me.
Why? They were distracting.
It was like the Cloodle-Doo's costume is actually pretty sick, and mm-hmm. the chickens look like the most budget thing we've seen on the show in forever.
They did. They did look quite budget. I thought at first they were trying to trick us and that Cloodle-Doo was one of them. But then I saw the dancers compared to Cloodle-Doo's costume. And it was very much, you know, when you order something online, when it arrives, that vibe. Very, very Wish level of the costumes. But this was the end of our Cloodle-Doo saga. What did you, overall, you don't like Cloodle-Doo being included in the Cloodle Clues?
No. I didn't mind. Here's the thing. I didn't mind Cloodle do when it was like, ooh, I'm going to pop up and hit you with a Chiron clue in the bottom right. What I didn't like was this fake feud of, ooh, we hate the, like, Ken Jeong.
At
the
end.
I was like,
was
even
weird.
Though I hate you, you did very, like, shut up. You don't hate him. Like, that's not a thing. Like, Robin straight up said, I'm going to cook this chicken. Like, Robin was going to cook the Cloodle do. That is ridiculous to me.
That was kind of weird that all of a sudden they just started this feud with the Cloodle-Doo. Maybe because the audience didn't like the Cloodle-Doo. And then they said, all right, well, if we make the panel hate Cloodle-Doo, then we'll be fine.
There was just no legitimacy to the feud to me. I just felt like they didn't do enough with the Cloodle-Doo to warrant a feud, but then they did too much in that. I feel like, I don't know, it just didn't. Something didn't add up there. What I will say is I enjoy them giving us more reveals. Obviously, I'm a sucker for them. We've talked about how one of the best parts of the show is trying to figure out who is who and getting a little bit extra clues, more unmasking. I'm here for that, especially if it's in a non-compromising the performance's role, right? Because if you think about it, did this season have the most people? No, it had 16 total, right? Which is not the most. I think 18 was the most in season two. What was it, 18 in season two? Anyways, I liked it. I liked having another unmasking. I think it worked. What I would probably ease up on is let's focus on the singers and less on the non-entity that suddenly people want to cook.
Okay, now just saying, hearing you say all of this put together, the Cloodle-Doo literally gave us more clues. So why would the panel be in a feud with the Cloodle-Doo? I know the song says messing with the panel, but how did the Cloodle-Doo mess with the panel?
So here's the thing. So the Cloodle-Doo's clues were exclusive to the home audience, I'm pretty sure. So the panel doesn't get the Cloodle clues. But also, that's what I'm talking about with regards to there was not enough to warrant hate for the panel. There was like one moment where they're like, oh, I'm going to block the piglet's like blank item that everyone else's you got to see. You know, like the whole extra clue of, oh, here's right. what we stole from their mailbox. They're like, oh, the piglet's not going to get one this time. Like, that's the kind of little things the Cloodle-Doo did. But it's like one of those things of if you loosened the salt shaker and I went to pour salt and then salt hit the table. Like, it's annoying. But am I going to cook you over it? No, that's ridiculous reaction. And like, And like that ruins a whole meal. Whereas with them, it's like, oh, you didn't give me one clue. It's fine. I have these 12 other clues that I've already gotten. So I don't care. That's what I'm saying.
Someone sent me a message that said the true Cloodle-Doo were the friends we made along the way. And I think that that's really the most appropriate way to talk about the Cloodle-Doo. You just changed the game. Cloodle-Doo mess. Do you want to hear the full lyrics?
Sure. Are you going to sing them? You better sing them.
No.
No, you sing them.
Here to change the game. Cloodle-doo. Messing with the panel, Cloodle-doo. Giving all the clues, Cloodle-doo. Mm-hmm. Who's this crazy rooster? Help to solve the game.
Yeah.
See, he's there to help.
Yes, us. We are supposed to like the Cloodle-doo.
Hmm. From a narrative perspective,
Cloodle-doo is our friend.
Yeah, but then are we supposed to like the panel? Because putting those two forces opposed to one another seems like an odd narrative choice if we're supposed to like both.
It's
weird.
It's like saying, hey, so here's Robin Hood robbing the rich and feeding the poor, but also Robin Hood's a villain. It's like, no, but Robin Hood's doing a good thing.
We like the poor.
Is Robin Hood like the Walter White? Is it like an anti-hero type situation with the it's not Robin Hood, sorry, Cloodle-doo, not Robin Hood.
He's a Walter White. It's still helpful to us at home. Whereas I think Walter White was much more selfish and then ultimately ended up acting out of, we're not going to talk about that.
If I was cocky, I would say I didn't even need the Cloodle-doo. I thrived without him.
Well, I will say the Cloodle-doo clues helped me get three of them, I think. So I needed the Cloodle-doo. All right. I'm here for Cloodle-clue.
Are you here for if next season, season six, it's still Cloodle-doo, but they just put a different person in the costume?
Interesting. So it's still Batman, but it's a different actor.
Right. Exactly.
Oof, I don't know. That can really go all different types of ways, because remember that time they made the Edward Norton version of the Hulk and that was just really bad. And then Mark Ruffalo came in and did the Hulk and then it was much better. And then I think wasn't Eric Bana at one point the Hulk? Anyway, I think the point is that
James Bond keeps changing every handful of movies. So that's a thing.
Did I tell you I went to the premiere of one of the Daniel Craig James Bond movies?
When you say a premiere, what does that mean?
We went down to the studios in Hollywood and there was this whole party and they had martinis and stuff. Yeah, because we knew somebody who was involved in the industry and they only had four tickets or something. And anyway, whatever. It's not important. But I remember being very well. I remember drinking a lot of very strong martinis. And so the movie, I remember a little bit of
what year was this?
It was a great time.
I don't think it was Casino Royale. I don't think you were out there.
It was my senior year. So it was 20.
I think it was. I don't think it was Skyfall. It would have been the other one.
What came out in 2013?
Yeah, that one.
Let's see. 2013. Skyfall.
Oh, what's Skyfall? 2012 was Skyfall. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it must have been in 2012 then. Okay. All right. Oh, whatever. We're losing the thread like this entire podcast is. Let me go back to my actual notes.
Oh, we lost the thread when we did the start of the Masked Singer podcast. Genuinely.
That's true.
The thread's always been lost, but we somehow string it along together. What are you speaking over me for?
We're here to change the podcasting game. Here to change the game. Liana B. Here to change the game. Puya Z B. Yeah. What do you think? We can make our own parody.
Doesn't segue well, Liana B.
it doesn't matter. We got a panel here to change a panel. Whatever. Anyway, okay.
Yeti, lots of penis jokes, Liana B.
No, humor me. The panel guest. Their first guesses for the Yeti. Ken guessed Justin Bieber. Nicole guessed Jason Derulo. Jenny guessed. I didn't write it down. And Robin guessed correctly.
You didn't even do the homework right.
Okay, you know what? There were some issues with the stream that we watched.
Mario. Right? Jenny guessed Mario.
Yes. Very good, Jenny. Close but no cigar, because Robin is the one who gets a point here. And I think, Puya, you get a point too.
That's right. I get 2 points this episode. I got
for Cloodle-doo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donnie Wahlberg and Omarion, thank you for putting me in the lead. I think I was pointless until this point.
I don't remember.
I think so, because let me look at the cast real quick. I don't think I had anyone else until like the second performance. Which I think if we call it a dunzo, I think this mathematically eliminates you from winning the Golden Ear.
Okay, well, that's just rude. How do you know?
Because I feel like we've discussed it at this point.
We both have Nick Lachey.
We both have Nick Lachey, so we're going to tie there. I know. I have Wiz.
You have Wiz. Yeah. Shoot. Mm. Oh, shoot. Oh, shucks. Well, that's okay. The true Cloodledoos are the friends we made along the way. Isn't that right?
Indeed, they are. Indeed, they are. Mm-hmm. But this was a fun, fun season for the Veiled Guesses. And I think next time, Liana, we should just do the thing where we write them, we put them in an envelope, we hand them over to each other, and then we live open each other's and read them out. I think that's the way, because I've done horribly with like writing them down. I just know because of the ones that I like thought of in the moment that I got right. Like if the ones I got wrong, I just know I got wrong. I don't remember who I guessed. So I think for comedy and for podcast purposes, we should document them so we have the wrong guesses so we can laugh at how stupid the wrong ones are.
Yeah, I like that idea. Because I keep track of what I write down. For my first impression guess, I wrote an Usher type, but not Usher.
That's like, you do realize, Liana, if you put a guess like that, you might as well leave it blank. That will give you nothing.
Yeah, but I was close.
It's like an entertainer that is also a singer, but is not a performer. Like, what is that? It's vague.
A grocery store is a place you go to buy groceries. Okay. Right. And there we have it, folks. That is the semifinals, aka the big city finals of The Masked Singer season 5.
Done and dusted. And then that takes us to next week. So obviously, next week is the finale. We're going to get a crowned winner. Leanne Rimes is going to have to pass the crown over. Mm-hmm. And I'm keen to see who gets to take it and who usurps the sun for the title of the Masked Singer champion. Of course, this is going to be a very big episode. It's going to be a good one. So I think we're going to record, to give you a little bit of an idea, we're going to record a little bit later than usual for this finale one. By like later, I mean like maybe a day. So I'm going to put up a question thread, obviously, in the RHAP patron group. And if you have any questions about anything, now that the season will be done by Wednesday, please send us your questions on Twitter, in the Facebook group, on Discord, anywhere you can find us, basically. Shoot your question. We will answer as many of them as we can. And that'll be a great way for us to wrap up the season next week, Liana.
Okay, I want to revisit the toes real quick. So there were 146 toes, and yes. Now that we have a better idea of all the people. So let's see. There was, 1, 2, 3. Does Nick Cannon count?
He should, right? He was still a wild card.
I guess he should count. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13, 14, 15. There were 15 human contestants and then Kermit the Frog.
So that's 150 plus. That's 158.
There's a lot of people missing toes. Because if it's 158 minus 146, that's 12 toes that are missing.
I don't like this game anymore.
I don't understand. Is everybody missing one toe? Is this the 9-toe season of The Masked Singer? Or do they not count Kermit the Frog?
I think they messed up. I think they messed up on the math somewhere.
I think they did too, because even if you don't count Kermit, right? That's still, what did I say? How many people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That's still 15 people. That's still 150 toes. And you're missing six. Okay, well, that's more realistic that you have 4 toes missing. Maybe. Ooh, what if all of the Russian dolls, they're related, right? They're all brothers. Maybe they all have the same toe style with less toes.
That's not a style.
Do you think Bobby Brown is missing a couple toes?
Liana, you are asking the entirely wrong person this.
What do you mean you don't know?
Why would I know anyone's toes? I know, people's feet are none of my business.
I know. All right, whatever. Anyway, I was really hoping that toe clue would be helpful, and I really don't think it is. So I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I mean, literally, all you could have done was go to, like, Toe Wiki, if that's even a thing, and looked up famous people who are lacking toes.
Did I go to celebrityfeet.com? Yes, I did. Did I try to look at pictures of everyone's toes? Yes, I did. And I couldn't find any of them with missing toes of the ones I could find. And now I have a really weird ad that comes up on Amazon, and I don't want to talk about it.
Well, it's all your fault.
Yeah.
But I do think that there was a missed opportunity to have a cow on the show.
Why?
Because they lack toes. We're going to the finale, folks. Finale next week. It's going to be great. Liana, thank you for taking the hosting reins.
Yeah,
it really means a lot.
Thank you for giving me these opportunities.
Don't even
start. These not.
You know I'm not going to edit this podcast, right? It's going to go directly to the download spot.
Well, you're going to cut out the beginning, though.
I am not cutting anything out.
Oh, well, that's me here to change the game. Ani B.
Little do.
All right. Great showing. All right. So, Puya, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
People can find me on all major. Do you want to know something, though? No. I literally said thank you for taking over, and I was going to close it off. And then you cut me off and then took it back and then put it back on me. So now it feels like I wasted our time by speaking earlier. But it's
fine. If you edited the podcast, then we would cut out that.
You're making extra work for me for what? For your leisure?
Fine. Thank you for having me, Puya. It was really great to step in as the host of this episode.
I don't want you can find your me on pity. Twitter.
Ali on
Shut up.
I'm going to boop your snooze. No. I'm going to come over there. No. Mess with the pen. There's also one line that says, he's a big celeb. He's a big celeb. Trickster through and through.
All right. Oh, this is easily the most WTF podcast we've had so far.
I would agree. I would probably agree. Not on a toe talk, but...
No, this is probably the worst one we've done so far. It's like, I'm enjoying it, but it's one of those where it's like, it's clear that you had to be a part of it to enjoy it. I think with the random tangents and all the cloodle-do nonsense, I don't think it's going to translate well. Maybe it does. Who knows? Here, you know what? I was going to propose something, and I'll live ask you because I'm not editing this. What do you think about putting up a goal, and if we get that goal, we do a one-off talking about holy moly 3D and 2D.
Well, I will say, first of all, that podcast was totally weird because it was a lot of holy moly 2D and 3D. 3D and 2D, whatever. And yes, I'm into it. We got some good recommendations for holy moly 2D, 3D, 4D. So
yeah, so
I'm down.
Here's what I wanted to propose. If you would humor me for a second, and then we'll get out of people's hairs or earbuds, rather. So we are currently sitting at 104 reviews on iTunes, which, by the way, everybody, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate that from you. How about we set a goal? And if this goal is fulfilled by the time we get together for the finale podcast, which is in about roughly 7-8 days.
Okay.
The goal is fulfilled. We watch Holy Moly 3D and 2D and we talk about it. I want not much. I'm not asking for a lot. I think we can get to 115. 11 reviews. I think we can get there.
Holy moly fans are going to come out of the woodwork.
I know. I nearly said 120, but then I didn't want to not get there. So I'm staying safe. 115. It ends with a 5. Season 5 ends with a 5. That works. That's good. And it's not 105, which is just one rating. Imagine, do one review.
we'll do it.
Yeah, so 11 reviews. I think it's possible. If you would like to leave a rating or review, please go over to robinswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MASKEDSINGER. Every bit of rating and review, regardless of this ridiculous goal, does help and does help us get discovered and does help us get closer to taking over from Bow Wow on the official podcast of The Masked Singer, which, by the way, not great podcast. That's that. And as far as where you can find me, Leon, to answer your question from earlier that I definitely segued from, all major social media platforms at Puyaism. specifically twitch.tv/Puya for any content I do there. I do stream there many times a week, especially during these off seasons. And then, of course, talking 90 Day Fiancé with Rob every week. And that's been a delightful treat as well. The season of Happily Ever After so far has been delivering. So I'm here for it.
That's right. Boom.
Yeah. And where can people find you, Liana?
Well, you cut me off when I was trying to give away. You can find me on social media at Liana R-H-A-P or on Twitch at Liana Ism. That's me.
Twitch.
I said Twitch.
The recording says otherwise.
Twitch.
Maybe cut off. I don't know.
Twitch.
Also, I think we ate Five Guys before doing this. I feel like the burgers made us weirder.
Okay, that's a weird. Look, just end the podcast. Just turn it off. Stop it.
You're hosting.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Bye. Love you guys. Bye.